this morning about Jesus' prayer as Jesus talks about being channeled for God's love, being one with God, and desiring that same for disciples of his. Our second reading follows along those same lines of oneness in Philippians chapter 2, verses 1 through 5. If then there is a comfort in Christ, any consolation from love, any partnership in the Spirit, any tender affection and sympathy, make my joy complete. Be of the same mind, having the same love, being in full accord and of one mind. Do nothing from selfish ambition or empty conceit, but in humility regard others as better than yourselves. Let each of you look not to your own interests, but to the interests of others. Another translation puts it this way: don't push your way to the front. Don't sweet talk your way to the top. Put yourself aside and help others get ahead. Don't be obsessed with getting your own advantage. Let the same mind be in you that was in Christ Jesus. May the Spirit add a blessing to the reading and hearing of God's most holy word. Amen. Have compassion for everyone you meet, even if they don't want it. What seems like bad manners, cynicism, or conceit is always a sign of things no eyes have seen or ears have heard. You don't know what wars are going on down where the spirit meets the bone. But ring the bells that still can ring. Forget your perfect offering. There is a crack in everything. That's how the light gets in. I can remember being on the playground in first grade, even mere elementary school. There was a basketball court designed just for first graders' vertical leap. And every day at recess, we were a swarm of bees chasing the ball. No teamwork, no common defense or offense, no working together towards any common goal. It was 30 superstars, 30 separate teams, all wanting the glory of hitting the outside shot. When you didn't have the ball, there was a word that we would shout at the kid who did. Ball hog! Ball hog! People called me a ball hog, but what did they know? I was a star. Unlike them, I was going to make it. There's this memorable scene in the hit show Ted Lasso, a story about an American football coach who, with no prior experience, coaches a Premier League soccer team in England. The scene involves Jamie Tart, their star striker, who is a ball hog to the fullest extent. And in this scene, Jamie scores an important goal. And as he celebrates with great enthusiasm, the coaches on the sideline are trying to listen to what he's chanting. And finally, they make it out. He's screaming, "Me, me, me!" And he's pointing to his name on the back of his jersey. All about him. In our scripture passage this morning, it is difficult to make out what exactly is going on in that church in Philippi. We don't have the details that make this letter necessary for the early churches trying to live as Christ. However, we know Paul, like Jesus, was quick to confront those who chanted, "Me, me, me," even if it was for something good. In a separate letter to a different church in Galatia, we learn that Paul regarded as inappropriate to the body of Christ the selfish eye, the pompous mouth, the ear hungry for compliments, the mouth that didn't say anything, the heart that had little room for others, and the hand that only served itself. When each body part was either the superstar or living only for its glory or lived completely separate lives from the body, it was disconnected, separated, and detached from community, which is detached from God. We hear an echo of that same teaching this morning where it says, "Do nothing from selfish ambition or empty conceit. Let each of you look not to your own interest. Let the same mind in you that was in Christ Jesus." Jesus taught as much. When in Capernaum, his disciples asked, "Who is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven?" "Come on, Jesus, tell us who the superstar is. We know you know." And he responds, "Unless you change that mindset, unless you change and join the least of these, you will never enter the kingdom of heaven." Likewise, as Jesus sat to dine with Pharisees, observing where they were sitting that night for dinner, he said this parable about a great dinner. When you are invited by someone, do not sit down at the place of honor in case someone more distinguished than you has been invited, but when you have been invited, sit down at the lowest place, for all who exalt themselves will be humbled, and those who humble themselves will be exalted. There is a very simple takeaway we can deduce, and that is, be a team player. Pass the ball, share your resources, leave room for others. However, is that enough? Does that interpretation get to the depth of the communal fracturing Paul is trying to repair? Is it enough to overcome the hostility and conflict the early church was regularly involved in? After all, Paul is making a bold and outrageous statement that they are to share one mind, a mind equal to that of Christ Jesus. As we read from John, that one mind is the Father and the Son, the parent and the child, God and Jesus. That is not a throwaway statement. In fact, it means a whole lot to Paul. It seems to be more than just passing the ball, being nice, getting along. After all, just because you do one thing, just because you pass the ball to another player, does not make you a good teammate. Just because you tolerate someone does not make you a good neighbor. Just because you did not cuss someone out, even though you felt like they deserved it, that does not make you a saint. Paul is guiding the church to become more than surface pleasantries, but to delve into being of the same mind, just like Jesus was of the same mind with God. Many interpret this passage of being of one mind as thinking the same. Thinking the same as Christ, where everyone in the Philippian church needs to think of God the same way. It is a call to conformity, a loss of one's unique self for the sake of a greater group identity. However, as much as Paul lifts up body parts endowed with precious gifts that serve a wider body, or the various fruits of the Spirit given at random to certain people, conformity is inconsistent with Paul's teachings and that of Christ. And when we turn to the Greek verb used there, pravo, translated being one mind, we discover it does not refer to an intellectual oneness or conformity of thinking, but instead refers to a common attitude, a common awareness. The glue of community is not being the same, but the glue is being different, but bound to a common attitude, a common feeling. And the way it is being used, being one mind, is the mysterious aspects of any relationship, often referred to as having good chemistry. You might have heard that before. Now, scientists have discovered that when you place two living heart cells from different people, and you place those heart cells in one petri dish, something happens. These are also known as pacemaker cells. These cells are connected electrically. And even though the heart cells are from separate people, in time, they find one another and miraculously maintain a common beat together. This biological chemistry reflects the chemistry of Christ, whose heart beats in rhythm with God's love and compassion. Christ, who was not partial to friend or foe, rich or poor, but to anyone needing a companion, came close and walked beside others. Jesus did not just heal, but he felt what they were feeling. He longed for what they longed for. He did not just feed people, but he knew the names of those he fed and their stories and their histories. And by going out to others, like those pacemaker cells, he drew people to the heart of God so that they didn't just receive what they needed, but the rhythm of their heart was transformed. It was in sync with God's grace, God's love, and God's justice. Their hearts beat for one another. We don't know what is causing the church to fracture. We don't know if it was a rift between people in the church or with state politics or a wider cultural thing going on, but we do know Paul urges them that if they have good chemistry, an attitude, a mind like Christ, they can overcome anything. So twice a year, I share the following statement in worship. And this is our first dose for 2026. You will not get along with everyone in church. There is someone here you don't see eye to eye with, who live life differently. There may be someone, for whatever reason, you don't seem to hit it off. But because of Christ, because of our covenant through Christ, we are called to be of one mind, one attitude, a common heartbeat we call church. Because the truth is, we need each other. We need one another when the test results don't come back in our favor. We need one another when our lives change overnight or by that phone call we did not expect, and in a moment find ourselves in a new season of life. We need one another to remind us that we are precious children of God, especially when we are feeling like we aren't enough, when our bodies and our minds are changing, when we over-identify with our mistakes. We need one another to stay firm and grounded in the blessings of life, especially as tyrants shake their fists and we or our neighbors are made to be afraid. We need one another to embody the politics of Jesus, who was centered on the hungry, the thirsty, the immigrant, the unseen, above tribe or right party. We need one another to show up, to worship, to pray, to eat some more, because when we are in the same place, something happens. There is a spirit that brings us closer, and we find that our heart no longer beats at a different times, but they begin to beat as one. With Christ, we become peacemakers. We need one another. As our church gets closer to establishing a new vision and mission statement in our current season, Your feedback has revealed a common mindset, a common word used through all these ways we've gathered some data. And that word is love. And I want to close with this poem by Rosemary Wetolla Traumer entitled Love. Though I am undeniably broken, I come to you with no need to be fixed. I come to you the way one river meets another river, not joining out of thirst, but because there is so much power and beauty in giving oneself to another and moving through the world together. I come to you the way the half moon comes into the yard. I could be more whole, but in the meantime, I will bring you everything I have. May we be of the same mind as Christ and with one another. Amen.
Amen.
Amen.